Last week, if you missed, we began a brand new series called Stay in Your Lane, preparing for your purpose. And we studied the life of David, and we'll continue to do so throughout this series. And we learned from David's life that he had a deep conviction that he was created by God and that God had a plan and purpose for his life. And we learned that David focused on living God's purpose for his life, not on a position, not on prominence, not on promotion or on prestige. David deeply trusted God's plan for his life. He believed that what God had for him was for him. And as long as he followed God, he knew that no one could stop God's plan and purpose for his life. And just like David, church, God created you and he has a plan and purpose for your life. God has ordained opportunities, jobs, promotions, and people for your life. And if you're going to trust God with your life and not just with your eternity, you have to have a deep conviction that God has a plan and purpose for your life. Here's the problem. Most people trust themselves more than they trust God. They follow their plans instead of God's plans. Their life is focused on the wrong things. They focus on trying to get a position instead of on God's purpose. They focus on a promotion or on power or prominence or prestige instead of on God's purpose. And when you focus on the wrong things, it will keep you from living out God's purpose for your life. When I was a kid, growing up in Wewoka, Oklahoma, 8, 9, 10 years old, I used to sit in my mom's Pontiac Oldsmobile in the driveway or in the garage. And I used to dream about driving. Anybody else as a kid dreamed about driving? I'd get in there behind that steering wheel and I'd be moving that steering wheel, just pretending like I was driving, like I was on the highway. I just could not wait to drive. We had farmland out in the country, and my dad, he owned cows, and sometimes my dad would let me drive the farm truck on the farmland. I'd be out there, and I'd be working that farm truck, y'all. I'd bounce it up and down that farmland. My dad would say, "Slow down, son! Slow down!" But as a kid, my dad never let me drive on the highway. I'm like, "Come on, Dad, make my dream come true." My dad was like, you're not driving on the highway at 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, because he knew I wasn't ready. I was barely ready to drive on the farmland. Who knows what I'm talking about, huh? But I worked at farmland, I'm telling you. But my dad knew I wasn't ready to drive on the highway. My dad knew I wasn't prepared for the dream that was in my heart. Have you ever had a dream in your heart that you thought you were prepared for, and then it happened? And you realize you weren't as prepared as you thought you were. Maybe you were dating someone and thought you were ready for marriage. So you rushed and got married. And then you realize you weren't as prepared for marriage as you thought you were. Can I get a testimony? Anybody gonna get a witness in the house, huh? Or maybe you knew you had a big test to take at school, or maybe a big test at your job, but you didn't do a whole lot of studying because you just thought you were already prepared for the test. But after the test was over, you thought, "I should have studied more. I wasn't as prepared for this test as I thought I was." And the question of this series is, are you prepared for what God has prepared for you? To be prepared, you can't focus on promotion or power or prominence or prestige. If you're going to be prepared, you have to focus on preparation. You have to get prepared for what God has prepared for you. And when I was prepared, I finally got to drive on the highway. But I didn't get to skip taking the written driver's test. I didn't get to skip taking the physical driving test with the driving instructor. I had to be prepared. I had to get prepared. I had to pass both tests so I could legally drive. And just like I had to be prepared before my dad allowed me to drive on the highway. You have to be prepared for the purpose that God has for your life. And church, here's the challenge. You can't skip the preparation process. There's no shortcut to getting prepared for what God has prepared for you. And the dilemma that so many people run into is so many people underestimate the preparation process. They get tired of the process. They got this dream in their heart that they want to see come to pass, and they get frustrated with the process. So instead of focusing on preparation, they start focusing on a position, focusing on promotion, trying to get power, instead of focusing on preparing for God's purpose. And let me tell you something about your great God. When God is ready to give you the keys to the car, the real question is this: will you be ready to drive it? Because will you be prepared for what God has prepared for you? Because God knows how to give you the keys if you're ready to drive it. Are you prepared? Benjamin Franklin said, by failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail. Stephen Curry, the guard for the Golden State Warriors, who has made the most three-pointers in NBA history, was asked how he accomplished such a feat. He responded with one word: preparation. He takes anywhere from 300 to 500 shots a day to prepare. George Washington Carver said, there is no shortcut to achievement. Life requires thorough preparation. Alexander Graham Bell said, before anything else, the key to success is preparation. Robert Schuller said, spectacular achievement is always preceded by unspectacular preparation. David became king at the proper time because he was prepared for it. Here's the key, church. You have to prepare now for what God has next. Prepare now for the new business that you desire. Prepare now for the marriage that you want, or you're married now, the marriage that you desire. Prepare now. Prepare now for the career. Prepare now for the position or the promotion that you're dreaming about. Prepare now for the new godly friendships that you need in your life. Prepare now for the financial freedom that you want. Prepare now for the ministry that God has for you. Prepare now for the opportunities God wants to bring your way. Preparation is not just a part of life. Preparation is life. As long as you and I are breathing, we should always be preparing for what God has next for our life. There is always a next with God. Let me say that again. There's always a next with God. Let's study the life of David today. As we look at David's life, here's what we're going to discover. We're going to discover the power of the preparation process. The power of the preparation process. For all of my note takers, come on, grab pen, your phone, take some notes right now. Number one is this. Let me help you. The preparation process develops your calling. It develops your calling. When God spoke to David through the prophet Samuel, he spoke to Samuel and he said, hey, David's going to become the next king of Israel. And when he spoke to the prophet Samuel, David did not have a clue that he was going to be the next king. He was simply preparing by being faithful right where he was. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 11, it says, while he was being faithful to take care of his father's sheep, God spoke to David about the next season he had for his life. Here's the big lesson, church. We have to all learn about the preparation process. And that is, don't be consumed with what is next. Be consumed on what God has now. God will show you what's next if you will be faithful with what's now. God has always shown me what's next for my life while I was being faithful with what he had now for my life. I think about my freshman year of college. I was at Arkansas Tech University. I was majoring in communications to be a sports broadcaster. It was my dream to be on ESPN as a sports broadcaster. Come on, can you hear that voice, church? Come on, hear that. Come on, can you hear that broadcasting voice? And God said, no, you're not going to use that voice for sports. You're going to use it for preaching. I was being faithful at Arkansas Tech University. I was going to class, studying for communications. I was doing my schoolwork. I was going to football practice. I had a full ride football scholarship. I was going to church. I loved God then. I was going to church. I was praying. I was tithing. I was reading my Bible. I was living for God. And God spoke to me about what he had next while I was being faithful in what I was currently doing in that season, being faithful with the now. He called me into full-time ministry, full-time vocational ministry, while I was being faithful at Arkansas Tech University. I left my scholarship, and I went to Oral Roberts University for a semester. Then I went to Evangel University to prepare for ministry and majored in biblical studies. And while I was being faithful at Evangel, being faithful in the now season, God opened so many doors. For some reason, the president of the university, I didn't know him, I transferred in. He asked me to speak at chapel. Then students heard me speak at chapel, and they started telling their pastors about me. And I started getting speaking engagements all around the nation. Being faithful in the now, I met Tiffany, the love of my life, at Evangel. I got my degree there. After I graduated from Evangel, I was wondering, what does God have next for Tiffany and I? I thought we might become youth pastors, and we even interviewed for a youth pastor job in Iowa. But what God had next for us was to continue to travel full-time as evangelists. And as we were being faithful as evangelists, preaching the gospel all around the nation, around the world, youth camps, churches, youth conventions, God spoke to us about starting People's Church. We weren't seeking after it. We weren't looking for something else to do. We were just being faithful with what God had now, and then God showed us what he had next. Listen, church, the seasons of life will change, and the key, this is for somebody today, you need to hear this, seasons of life change, and the key to discovering what's next is not to focus on what's next, is to be faithful with what's now. If you will be faithful with the now, God will always be faithful to show you what's next. And you will be prepared for what's next. Number two is this. We're looking at the preparation process, the power of it. Number two, the preparation process develops your anointing. Say, Pastor, you just used a big old church word. What is anointing? Anointing is simply how God gives you his power to accomplish his purpose. His power to accomplish his purpose. And a part of David's preparing for his purpose was being anointed on three different occasions. If you're a note taker, write this down. He was anointed in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. He was anointed in 2 Samuel a second time, 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 4. He was anointed a third time in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 7. And the first time when David was anointed, let me just read that to you. I think it's really powerful for you to see this. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, it says, so Samuel, the prophet, took the horn of oil and anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. David was anointed, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And then he was anointed two more times, just the anointing growing on his life. And I want you to see what the Bible says after David was anointed the third time. It says this in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 10, and he became more and more powerful. Catch this, church. Why? Because the Lord God Almighty was with him. David wasn't a great king because of his own power and strength. He was a great king because he had God's power. He had God's anointing on his life. And People's Church, we need the anointing and the power of God on our life. Some people think the anointing's for the preacher. No, no, the anointing's for all of us. Church, don't try to accomplish God's purpose without God's power. You will fail miserably. You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life, at your job, in your marriage, in your dating. Like David, let the anointing grow on your life. Let God keep filling you with his power and with his anointing so you can be prepared for his purpose. You need to rely on God's power, not on your own strength. And one of the most important things that you need to understand about the anointing of God is sometimes God will anoint you years before he appoints you. Pastor, why does God do this? Number three is this: the preparation process develops your character. One of the big reasons why God will anoint you years before he will appoint you is to develop your character. After David was anointed the first time to be the king, around 15 years went by before he actually became king. He was anointed, and then he went right back to taking care of the sheep. Anointed, but went to the king's palace to serve King Saul. He took the bread and the cheese to his brothers when they were in the valley of Elah getting ready to fight against the Philistines. He showed up, and then he fought Goliath. God used all of these experiences to develop his character. Church, God is more concerned about your character being developed than your calling being delivered. What God wants to do in you is more important than what God wants to do through you. God is committed to preparing your character to be strong enough to support the purpose he has for you. And David didn't rush the process. Some of you trying to rush the process. David surrendered to the process, and God developed his character. Psalm chapter 78, verse 72 says, "And David shepherded them with integrity of heart." If you have a paper Bible, just circle integrity of heart. My prayer today for all of us is that our character will be developed to support the calling God has for us. Here's my prayer, is I want God to say they shepherded their family with integrity of heart. They shepherded their business, their employees, with integrity of heart. They shepherded their coworkers, their friends, their classmates with integrity of heart. They shepherded their dream team role at church, their calling, their God-given purpose with integrity of heart. God, prepare us for what you have prepared for us. Number four is this. Number four, the preparation process develops your skills. Develops your skills. God has given you gifts. God's job was to give you your gifts. And your job is to develop and steward those gifts. David was ready for what God had next because he developed the gifts and talents God gave him. Notice that verse. I'm going to share it again. Psalm chapter 78, verse number 2. David shepherded them with integrity of heart. And it goes on to say, with skillful hands, he led them. Skillful. David skillfully led God's people because he developed his skills. He developed his gifts. How? By taking care of the sheep. He developed his gifts. By learning how to skillfully play the harp. I can just see David day after day just playing that harp, just working that harp. By becoming a skillful warrior. He practiced and became skillful. He did not rush the preparation process. And church, just like David, we want to develop the gifts and the talents God has given us. Just because you're anointed doesn't mean you're ready to be appointed. You need to discover the gifts God has given you. That's one of the reasons we have Growth Track, for you to discover your gifts. And then you need to get on the dream team and develop those gifts. And so many people never develop their gifts because they're too busy coveting someone else's gifts. Some of you need to stop focusing on what other people have. Stay in your lane. Run your race. Develop the gifts God has given you. Focus on becoming the best version of you. You can never become them anyways. Focus on you. Be the best you can be. Develop your gifts. Read books. Pastor, I don't like to read, but thank God for audio books. Audio book. Listen to podcasts. Grow in your field. Get your degree. Practice. Study. Grow. Develop. Practice some more. Become the best you can be.
Well, Pastor, I've been doing this job for 20 years. Get better. That's your problem. You're capped. You think you know it all. Grow. Develop.
Purpose happens when your preparation and God's opportunity collide. Will your gifts be developed when God is ready to bring the next opportunity your way? Prepare now for what God has next. Number five is this. The preparation process develops your relationships. Your relationships. During the preparation process, God brings people into your life to help you prepare for your purpose. The right people will help you grow. Their wisdom will protect you, will develop you, and will help propel you into what God has next for your life. I want you to catch this about David's life. You ought to read the entire chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 19, just David and Jonathan and all that transpired there. But Saul, the king, his son Jonathan, he told him, and he told all the attendants, I'm going to kill David. But Jonathan had taken a great liking to David, and he warned him. He said, man, my father's looking for a chance to kill you. You need to be on guard tomorrow. Go into hiding. Stay in hiding. Saul wanted to kill David and stop his purpose. But Jonathan was a friend that protected David. He spoke the truth to David. All of us, every single one of us, you need some people who will take a great liking to you and want to help you fulfill your purpose. Some of you have the wrong people in your life. You have Saul in your life instead of Jonathan, and the wrong people will tell you what you want to hear instead of what you need to hear. But to fulfill your purpose, you need some people who will speak the truth to you even when it's not easy to hear. It wasn't easy for David to hear, hey, man, my father's going to try to kill you tomorrow. Hey, man, can you lighten up? Give me some potato chips. No, this is not easy to hear, David. I see some things you can't see. And things aren't as good as you might think they are. You need to make some changes. You need to go in a different direction. Those are tough words to hear. But a part of the preparation process is your willingness to humble yourself enough and to surround yourself and to listen to the right people that God brings into your life. People who will tell you where you need to make some changes. People who will point out some bad habits that are hindering your life. Who will tell you areas where you need to grow so you can fulfill God's purpose for your life. God's preparation process always includes distancing yourself from the wrong people and learning to listen to the right people. You need Jonathan, not a Saul. Number six. The preparation process develops your confidence. Let me tell you something about God's waiting room. It'll develop your confidence. God's waiting room developed David's confidence. Everything David went through gave him confidence for what God had next. Let me give you one example. David was faithfully taking care of his father's sheep. And the Bible says when a lion came, one day he killed it. The Bible says when a bear came to attack the sheep, he killed the bear. Now, let me tell you, if I'd have been David, I might have not got prepared. I'm afraid them sheep would have died. Come on, somebody, huh? But David was, he was focused on getting prepared. And 1 Samuel said this, as David was getting ready to fight Goliath. I want you to catch what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 36 and 37. He says, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, this Goliath, will be like one of them. Because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, catch what he says, the Lord who rescued me from the bear, rescued me from the lion. He will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul said to David, go with your bad self. That's not what it said, but go and the Lord be with you. Here's what I want you to catch. David had confidence in the Lord. He had confidence in the gifts God had given him. Why? because of the preparation process. The preparation process will develop your confidence in God and in the gifts that he's given you. Not a false confidence. You ever met anybody that had a false confidence?
Oh, man, I got this. I got this.
You're like, yeah, they finna get you. But I'm talking about a confidence in the Lord that you're ready for what's next because you've been faithful with what's now. You're not focused on a position or power or prominence or promotion or prestige. You're focused on getting prepared for what God has prepared for you. Because here's what I know. If you will be faithful with the now, God will promote you to what he has next. The key is, the question is not, does God have the keys to the car for you to drive? No, the question is, are you prepared to drive it? Are you prepared for the purpose that God has for you? Nobody can steal your purpose. No devil can steal your purpose. But God will delay your purpose to prepare you for what he has prepared for you. Heavenly Father, thanks for your word today. Thanks for speaking truth to us today. Oh, God, you're stretching us today because, Lord, we have dreams in our hearts and dreams for our family, dreams for our finances, dreams for our future. But, God, we want to be prepared. And we know more than we want to be prepared that you want to prepare us for the purpose and the future that you have for us. So we surrender to you. We say yes to you. We say have your way in us right now, God. In Jesus' name, prepare us for what you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name we pray. As eyes are closed and heads are still bowed, and there are those that are here today, and God has a future for you. God has things for your life. He has a purpose for your life, but you're not prepared for it. And what you need to do now, not focus on what's next, what you need to do now is to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. What you need to do now is to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. What you need to do now is ask God to forgive you of all of your sins. What you need to do now is accept the grace and the mercy of God. You can't experience what God has next until you surrender your life to him now. For some of you, you need to quit playing church. You have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. You're Saturday nights, you're out getting drunk and getting high and partying and running with the wrong folk, and then in church on Sunday. And thank God, you need to keep coming to church. You need to keep pressing into church. But God is saying to you, you're never going to get what's next as long as you keep being lukewarm, as long as you keep getting one foot in the world, as long as you keep hanging around with those people. You got to sell out to me. I've got a plan for you. I've got purpose for you. But right now, surrender your life to me. Right now, repent of your sin. Right now, give me your heart. Right now, accept my grace and mercy. Right now, turn to me. Stop doing it your way. Start doing it my way. God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And right now, you need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. His way, not your way. His will, not your will. If that's you, as I count to three, would you lift your hand high? You want your sins to be forgiven. You want God to wash away your sins. You want to be right with God. You want to right now turn from your sin and turn to God so that you can experience what God has next. If that's you, as I count to three, would you shoot your hand high in the air? I'm going to lead you in a prayer to say yes to Jesus. One, two, three. Would you lift your hand now? I see your hand there. See your hand there. See your hand there. See your hand. Hands are going up around this building. See your hand. Come on, somebody else today. Come on, surrender to him. Don't keep playing games with God. God has more for your life. Just lift your hand high. Others today, hands are going up. I see at Midwest City, Northwest, his hands are going up. They're at Northwest. They're at Mabel Bassett. They're at Edmond online. Just click the raise your hand button. All right, yes. Yes in the chat line. Yes, I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. Others today. Others today. I'm going to ask those hands that are raised to pray this prayer with me. Confess it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. And God's going to wash away your sins today. Pray with me now. Heavenly Father, I turn from my way. I turn from doing it my way. I turn from my sin. And I turn my life to Jesus Christ. And I confess today that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, right now I repent of sin and just say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I don't live to please me. I live to please Jesus. Heavenly Father, I want to step into what you have next. So I surrender right now to you, your way, and your will. My life is yours. I'll follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.